Well, good morning to you all, and I greet you in Jesus' name. It's good to be together on this Sunday morning, having missed last Sunday with the ice. Brother Ernest, you prayed that the Lord would bless this service and that it would be an inspiration, and that prayer's already been answered because it has been an inspiration. And I know that I shouldn't gush. I don't want to do that about the congregation here, but everything about it to me was very meaningful, and there was great thoughts and great questions that stirred our minds and helped us to align our thinking to truth. Our minds are sort of complex. I don't pretend to be a very complex person. I think I'm sort of a little bit of a blunt instrument and sort of simple in a lot of ways. But our minds are able to take us down some very interesting trails. And so we were called to truth this morning already, and I praise God for that. I just want to bless each one who has part in that. I went, it was my responsibility to preach this morning. Midweek, I thought, well, I really hope there's like a visiting preacher or somebody that shows up, and that didn't happen. Ernest preached last Sunday, so it's not fair to ask him. Sonny is up at Phillips Creek, or Pine Creek, this morning, preaching. And so, here I am. I chose to go back into an old folder. I clicked back to the year 2011, and I went about halfway down the list of sermons in that folder, and one stood out to me. The title is Eternal Father. Eternal Father was the title of that message, and that's where my heart is this morning. I'd like to continue really the thoughts that Brother Moses started out with. The theme of God, His unchangeableness, His everlasting, from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God, Scripture tells us. My mind, I believe, was stirred by a song, and I'm going to read the first verse of that song. Eternal Father was written by a Dutch and Presbyterian minister, and he wrote this song. And I'm going to read the first verse. Eternal Father, when to thee, beyond all worlds, by faith I soar, before thy boundless majesty, I stand in silence and adore. See, those are words that are inspired from Scripture. And it's put together in a very lofty way. And we'll think about that just a little bit more as we go along. I might come back to that. I was also thinking about worship this morning, because when you think about God, there in Isaiah that we started out with, we have a scene of worship there. And we know what happened as Isaiah was brought into that scene of worship. There was what? That Isaiah experienced. Well, there was unworthiness, there was repentance, there was a number of things that happened. And so worship isn't so much about a feeling that we get, it's an offering that we bring. And so let's be thinking about that. What is our offering? Ask ourselves that question. We participated in worship this morning. What is the offering that we brought this morning? And what does it tell me about my understanding of who God is and my understanding of who I am myself? And so, Eternal Father, Everlasting God. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27 says this: the Eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The Eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Scripture speaks of God being from everlasting to everlasting, reigning forever and ever. Words that we cannot comprehend. And so, yes, this morning I do want to lift our eyes up. I do want to think of power. I want to think of authority. I want to think about perfection that is so far above all of us. Well above, far above all of us. This morning there is so much difficulty. So many folks on this planet who are facing very difficult circumstances. It was interesting to me, as I've selected this sermon and I rewrote it, at least partially, it was interesting to me what I referred to as difficulties and how similar they are to this day. I mean, it's only 10, 11 years, but isn't it amazing the constants of life? And, you know, we have, I don't plan to refer to this much, but we have our own challenge that we, you know, wait on the Lord for Tuesday morning. I think of the loss of life that has happened here right around us in the last couple of weeks, and the pain and the suffering that brings. There was a volcano out there somewhere in the Pacific here, just opened up and created, well, don't really know yet the full extent of what that created. So there's all of these things. And then there's the sickness and the disease and the accidents. And then the random acts of violence that I think would be the most difficult to process. If your loved one was snuffed out by some unexplainable random act of violence by another person, I think that would be one of the most difficult things to process through. And then there's the ways in which men and women, creation, men and women, abuse each other. And the pain that radiates out from that in our society. I say again, I continue to be amazed that our society still is as stable and as functioning as it is with all the distress and pain that is in it. It's incredible. And so what does man do? What does society do? What are we tempted to do? Fear and pain are strong enough to bring out responses in every person. There's going to be some response. Some will respond by reaching out to the abuses of drugs and alcohol and those kinds of things. Some will respond that way. Some will respond by just going after fun and pleasure, just to excess. Just lose yourself in that. So that's another response. Some may slide into depression and anger. That's another response. All of those come very close to any one of us. Really, I would have enjoyed being able to just do a study on faith and fear and the relationship between the two. It's not faith or fear, it's faith and fear. I would have enjoyed that, but I didn't feel like that was part of this week. But as we think about the attributes of God, He is eternal. He is immutable. That word means unchanging. He is omnipotent. That means all powerful. He is omniscient. That means knowing all things. He is omnipresent. That means His presence is here with us and our brothers and sisters who are meeting together in a little building there, in a house there, around a bed in Bangladesh, or wherever else it is. He's righteous, He's faithful, He's holy, He's just, and He's incomprehensible. Eternal Father, Almighty God, Everlasting King. Paul, in his inspired writings, wrote this: "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." Those are words of truth. And they're words that from time to time bring us comfort. From time to time they bring us some fears as well. Because we don't understand, and we really cannot understand, the ways of God. We understand that they are higher than our ways. One writer said it this way: the heathen who knows not God is shrouded in ignorance, mysticism, and superstition. The agnostic who refuses to know God, though he often prides himself in intelligence and knowledge, knows absolutely nothing beyond the reach of the finite mind. It is alone the child of God, through whose faith access is found to the hidden mysteries which mortal men, unaided, could never fathom. It's those that can speak intelligently of the living God and his wonderful works. I have been touched by this thought, not expressed exactly in those words, but this thought. How much help is brought to our minds? How much our minds are able to open up? How much our minds are able to explore that which is beyond this world because of our faith and what that does for us? And I wonder about people who decide to cut that off, how their mind, it must narrow. It must come in. It must get smaller, because it's just the finite things that they're wrestling with. Anyway, and I think it's a wonderful blessing that we have. Turn with me to Psalm 104. I don't have a list of 5 points that are going to be nice to take notes from, but I want to look at a couple passages that speak to this thought of our eternal Father, the Almighty God. I'm not going to read all of 104. I don't want to do that. I'm going to just sort of jump through it, but the first 6 verses here speak of the power of creation. Just talks about that. Who laid the beams of his chambers in the water, in verse 3. Who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. Who maketh his angels spirit, and so on. Thou coverest the deep with a garment, the waters stood above the mountains. Talking about the power of creation. 13 through 16 talks about the wealth of provisions. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengtheneth his heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted. And if what you see in those verses to me is life. The trees have just enough of sap to somehow stay alive. No, they're full of sap, it says. Yeah. And it's not just enough of bread to survive, but it's bread that feeds our soul. And there is a light that comes out. And I believe these verses, we should certainly take them into the spiritual. God blesses us so many ways physically. In fact, one of the things that continues to stand out to us so much is the fact that we happen to live in a country where medicine and technology is available. And that is a privilege that so many in our society don't have. But here is these provisions that God gives to all man. And it's a beautiful thing. And then finally, in verses 26 through 34, God's sustaining spirit brings praise and worship. 26, there go the ships. There is that Leviathan, whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their bread, they die and return to their deaths. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his work. He looketh on the earth and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Words of warning then, let the sinner be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul, praise ye the Lord. God's sustaining spirit brings praise and worship, and it is right that we gather together to praise and worship God this morning. Regardless of your situation, whatever that might be. It is right that we do that. Another writer said this: God is a real being who can overrule in the events of life and reveal his will in little details. This makes life an exciting venture and a secure journey all at the same time. And I'll just say that paper holds still for a lot. I believe that to be true, but it doesn't always feel that way. Doesn't always feel that way. And that's where we're at. We're here in this flesh. We are here in a body, in a mind that is going to feel things and experience things that are not going to feel good, and that's okay. But that's not where it ends. And that's where, as people of God, we're able to lift up our eyes. We're able to lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh thy help. And may God help us. I know that, you know, Brother Tim and Barb have just lost a little granddaughter, a beautiful little thing, gone. And those things are really, really, really hard. And yet, God is a real being who can overrule in the events of life, whatever that might be, and reveal his will in little details. This makes life an exciting venture and a secure journey all at the same time. May God help us. Turn with me now to Job. I want to look at the last three or four chapters of Job, and no, we're not going to read them all. In fact, this may be one of my shortest sermons. I better stick to that now, shouldn't I? But if you'll notice in Job chapter 38, I bring us here to Job because not because I want to try to line up my life with the experiences of Job. No, that's not why. But I'm coming to Job because of this exchange between God and Job. And I'm just thrilled by it. And Brother Moses, if I may, there in Exodus, you took us to Exodus this morning. And you said, this is the first time, you said, that God speaks about himself. I got out my pen, and I thought, well, that's incredible. I got out my pen, and I wrote, first time God speaks of himself, put an arrow over to it. And then it struck me that I don't think that was quite right. Because I do believe that Job, most likely the book of Job, and the experience of Job, took place well before Exodus. I could be wrong on that. But I would like us to think about this early exchange here that's recorded between Job and God. And we know the story. We know of Job's loss. We understand his experience and the friends who came and the friends who spoke and the friends who testified and the friends who brought accusations. And they had a lot of things to say, and I don't know that I'm here to fault them, because they're just men like you and I. But God answered Job out of the whirlwind in chapter 38 and verse 1 and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" And he said, "Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when thou laid the foundations? When I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding." And us Bible readers, we've read these chapters before. I am not going to read all the chapters. But if you'll notice God asking Job very specific questions, in fact, some that bring revelation. For instance, verse 7, "When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy," we can only understand that God's giving us a little bit of insight into the heavenlies, into that which is beyond, as he was creating this physical earth, as he was creating mankind. And that's what those verses seem to point out here. "Who shut up the sea with doors when it break forth?" And he continues on. Verse 12, hast thou commanded the morning since thy days and caused the day spring to know his place? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Verse 17, or hast thou seen the doors of the shadows of death? He continues on raising these questions. Who caused it to rain? Verse 26. Where did the ice come from? Verse 29. And then he says, can you understand the heavens? You know, can you understand how this all works? And man is still in pursuit of it, sending up another telescope just recently. Well, what are they going to see with that telescope? More of God's creation. It's just incredible. Knowest thou the ordinance of the heavens? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Verse 33. Who can number the clouds in wisdom? Verse 37. One of the boys mentioned on the way to church this morning some speculation of how much weight the clouds are carrying that are going to dump up to 10 inches of snow on us later today. You know, just incredible. Who's taking care of the wild animals? What about the wild goats, verse 39? Do you know all about them? Giving birth? And he continues on. He made their house in the wilderness. He set them there in the range of the mountains, talking about these goats. It's interesting how much time he spends on them. What about the peacocks, verse 13, and the ostrich, which leaveth her eggs in the earth and warmeth them with them in the dust, and forgetteth that the foot may crush them and the wild beast may break them? And yet, there's the ostrich still here with us today. What about the horse, the power of a horse? And then what about those other creatures that he's, the hawk, the eagle? You'll see it all there in verse 39. Moreover, he says in chapter 40, God's still not done. He's still talking to Job. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. And then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am thou. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. And then God continues on. He's still speaking out of the whirlwind. Gird up now thy loins like a man. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me, wilt thou disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? Am I going to do that? Am I going to say that my ways are higher than God's ways? And that my mind is better than God's mind? And that I have a better understanding? No. No, no. And that's what God's answering. Hast thou an arm like God? Verse 9. Or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? One old minister was telling me one time of a experience they had as a family. They had gathered the family together for a Sunday evening, picnic, and they were in a shelter in a wooded area, and a thunderstorm moved in. They didn't really see it because it was fairly wooded, but suddenly things started to get dark, and but they were okay. They were undercover, and they continued on, and suddenly the lightning became very close, and it struck very close in the woods to them, and the minister told me, I said to the family, there was a good bit of excitement and chatter, everybody be quiet. And everybody come together right here. God is speaking. Let's just wait on the Lord here. And, doesn't he understand it's an electrical storm and all? Yes, he understood all that. But God organizes these forces and these powers, and he controls them. He has his laws, but he can interrupt and he can move. And so there they were. The lightning did not strike them. But that's what God's asking the question. Do you have an arm like me? Can you thunder with a voice like mine? Verse 15. Behold now, behemoth, which I made with thee. He eateth grass as an ox. Yes, He moveth his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his stones are wrapped together. Yes, the archaeologists from time to time find these huge creatures. They're called dinosaurs or whatever names they want to put to them. And yes, they're real. And God made them. And they're no longer, they're extinct now. But they were here. They did walk this earth. They did all of those things. And God's telling us about them here. His bones are strong. His chief of his ways. Mountains bring him food. Verse 20. Verse 21. He lieth under the shady trees in the covert of the reed and fens. The shady trees. God, and he's there by the water. He drinketh up a river and hasteth not. He taketh it in with his eyes. His nose pierceth through snares. It's interesting. God gave us a number of verses about this creature. It's significant that God speaks like that. Then we go to chapter 41, and we start with a Leviathan. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook? Canst thou put a hook in his nose? And so we continue on. Talking about Leviathan into verse 14. Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his pride. And he continues on. By his kneesings a light doth shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth goeth burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. His breath kindleth coals. In his neck remaineth strength. Flakes of his skin are joined together. They are firm in themselves. Verse after verse after verse describing God's creation, this particular creature. He's asking Job, what do you know about this? And he's asking us, what do we know about this? What have we done to bring this about? And it's nothing that we have done. His heart is firm as a stone, verse 21. The mighty are afraid of him, 22. The sword of him that layeth him cannot hold. He esteemeth iron as straw. The arrows cannot make him flee, verse 28. Sling stones are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laugheth at the shaking of a spear. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot, verse 31. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh a path to shine after him. Upon earth there is none like. There is not his like, it says in verse 33, who is made without fear. So God has just taken us, spent the time in his book, that many verses, to just talk to us about his creation, and a particular part of his creation. And he's saying to Job, and he's saying to all of us, who's a God like unto me? Do you know anything about this creation? Do you? And Job, in his answer, in chapter 42 and verse 1, Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he? Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understand not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job's response is a response of faith. Job's response is a response, I'll say it again, of faith. He said, I didn't just hear you, but I saw you. And God is still revealing himself to us. Yes, absolutely, by his word, by his spirit, by this brotherhood, and by the experiences of life. God is continuing to reveal himself. And what he's reminding us in these verses is, just understand that my ways are so much higher. And my will, my power, my plan, you cannot comprehend it. I cannot comprehend it. And so, with Job, I would like to see God. I would like to understand God. And And also with Job, I believe that we too must repent and recognize our smallness once again. I ask the question, what worship did we bring this morning? You know, what was our worship? And was it worship of, what offering did we bring? What offering did we bring this morning? Our perception of God and our perception of ourselves is so key in what that worship was. And I believe that's what we see through these chapters here towards the end of Job. And so who is Creator God in my eyes this morning? What battle am I willing to lay down at before his feet and with Job confess the greatness and goodness of God? With Job, confess the greatness and goodness of God. The angels, the attendants before God. In Isaiah 6, verse 3, one cried unto the other and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And those attendants, and that refrain is still sounding in earth, or in heaven, and wherever men can understand it in earth. It most certainly is. The eternal God alone is worthy of all praise. All praise, our praise, all praise and honor and glory to God alone. And so, yes, worship is not just a feeling. Worship is not a feeling we get, but an offering that we bring. I want to just read to you this song again. It is actually in, if the song leader needs it, I'd be happy to sing it afterwards, but that's up to you. It's song number 88 in the hymns of the church. But I'll just read it to you if you just listen. Eternal, eternal Father, when to thee, beyond all worlds by faith I soar, before thy boundless majesty I stand in silence and adore. But Savior, thou art by my side, thy voice I hear, thy face I see. Thou art my friend, my daily guide, God over all, yet God with me. Verse 3, and thou, great Spirit in my heart, dost make thy temple day by day. The Holy Ghost of God thou art, yet dwellest in this house of clay. Blessed Trinity, in whom alone all things created move or rest, high in the heavens thou hast thy throne. Thou hast thy throne within my breast. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do bend our knees and we also bend our hearts before you, Lord, because you are the Almighty, you are the Creator, and you've given us this opportunity. You've invited us to come into your presence with our prayers. And so, Lord, we do come before you here this morning. Oh God, I do pray that you would help us to understand just a little bit more about who we are by the experiences of this life. Help us to understand a lot more. But I pray you would also give grace. We do pray for your mercy. We pray for your healing. We pray for your sustaining grace in our lives. And Lord, we think about the challenges of the weeks. And Lord, you know about them. You know the loss that's been here in our presence. And so, God, I pray that you'd bring healing and comfort to those. You also know, God, about the battles that have been won, victories that have been made. And so, Lord, I pray you continue to work among us, sanctify us. I do pray that the light of truth would shine brighter from this congregation. And so, Lord, we pray your blessing now on this week. Go before us, make a way for us, help us to recognize your greatness and to rest in that. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.